say he will live and not die. Notice David didn't say he will live. He had to qualify it. I will live and not die. Meaning I was supposed to die. The living is a new idea. And like, if you listen to my message, what I call the simplicity of divine intervention. At that particular point, the angel of God came, pushed his hand into the car. As the bullet was going on, the spirit of death was coming. The spirit of life stood and said, "Where are you going?" How did that happen in real life? The angel went like this and blocked the bullet and put his hand away and said, "Which explanation do we give them? Put metal there." No death is an accident. And no survival is an accident. Told the story, I heard a man talk about a plane that an accident happened in UK. One plane landed on top of another one because there was a mistake. And of course, both planes caught fire. And one man that was there, he saw the flame moving towards him. And some people were shouting and screaming and angry with God. He was a Christian. He just saw there was no way out. So he bowed his head and committed his spirit to God. Whatever he said at that moment, I don't know the details. All that happened, that God said, "No, this one, I will save him." At that point, there was an explosion under him. Fuel exploded. Except that it threw his seat through a crack that the other plane that hit his plane had created above his head. And that was how he flew into the air, landed on one of the wings of the plane, and rode onto the grass with only a cut where people were smoked inside the two aircrafts. No survival is an accident. God chose to deliver him. Why did I go into this? Now, I want to explain something, but I've explained so much today. Let people not tell you that, listen, God, I told you, he operates two levels. The most important one is that he's judge. And that's why you see the word righteous used for him. When you say God is righteous, you are describing his judgment. When you say what God is being righteous, you are saying there's nothing he does that is wrong. When he came to the earth and killed everybody, they saved only Noah and his family. It was right. It was right. Why is it important we understand this? So that when we want to plead our case, we stop this devil worship. We have to stop this devil worship. What am I devil worship? You go to church that they gather and fire your enemies morning, afternoon, and night. All of you will die much earlier than you will have died. Why? You are not pleading any case. It's like you go to court, you're on trial. Any accuser comes and says, "You want to accuse me? You will die. You want to accuse me, eh? Nothing will happen. Just watch. The judge is going to put you in prison." That's what's going to happen. Anytime they drag your case up, he say, "State versus the man that's supposed to die." And the devil comes up and says, "This is why he should die. He disobeys the word of God." He starts quoting things. He said, "It's me you're talking about. Tonight, you will see." There's what in court they call an undefended list. If you're a lawyer, you should know about that. If I go now, I sue you, say you are owing me $15,000. I go to court and go and tell the judge, I file a case against you. They will write you, say, "Come and defend yourself." First day you don't come. Second day you don't come. It gets to a point, the judge stops adjourning and he awards me judgment to go and collect my $15,000 from you. And at that time, you can't talk again. Why? You did not defend yourself. Instead of you defending yourself, you come to my house every day. "Banky, you want to disgrace me in this town? You want to disgrace me? And you know you're lying, oh." You will pay that money. You will pay that money. If you don't want to pay it, you also go to court and swear an affidavit. And say, "I never borrowed money from him. I have never met him before. I have never seen that dollars. Not to talk about him giving me 15,000. You swear an affidavit and give it to the judge. Then I now have to come and prove. If you don't do that, I don't have to prove anything. Many people, they direct all their prayers, "The devil, the devil, the devil." And listen to me, any devil that God gives judgment against you, you can't stop it. If the devil, listen, there was no sacrifice Job could offer to stop that Satan that was killing his people, destroying his family. There was none. See, the Bible says resist the devil. That's what I keep on telling you. What do you resist? His temptation. What is it? And he will flee from you. Go and read the scriptures. It was when Jesus resisted him, he departed from the Lord. You see sinners trying to say, I reject it. Criminal, you tell him, are you sick? I reject it. He was a thief. He has not rejected bribe money. Before you can reject sickness, you reject bribe. If you want to know your faith is working, use it to resist temptation. All this faith you are using to claim, you can't use it to resist ordinary temptation. Every bribe you collect, now be claiming. You don't have faith, the faith is dead. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying today. Yes, we must get these things clear. That's why Christians pray prayers that have no meaning. This year, every witch that says I will not progress, God says no witch is saying you won't progress. And when they want to say, they talk to me. They don't talk to you. And I want to hear your response. Talk to me also. Defend yourself. Defend yourself by your works of righteousness. Defend yourself by your faith, most importantly, in the Lord Jesus. Defend yourself by repenting from your sins. Defend yourself by uttering my will in my hearing. And saying to me, thy will be done. They came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. There was no time Jesus turned their attention to their enemy. It was our Father who art in heaven, not the devil who is on the earth. Hallowed be thy name. Deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. Not you, devil, that says we will not eat. Let us tell you, we watch up. That is what I call devil worship. Everything in our life, we are focusing on the devil. If God gives a devil a word and he says succeed in doing this, no Christian can stop him. People don't realize it. The only success in stopping the devil that you can have is when God has not decreed that you succeed in what he's doing. That's why there was one man in the church in Corinth. Paul looked at him and committed him for destruction of the flesh. That was authority of God that he was using. Whatever you bind on earth. That young man, there's no faith he wants to use to deliver himself from that judgment. That man went into the kind of troubles the details were not given. It was when the church forgave him. Are you getting my point? Paul said, me too, I forgive him. That was when the man could now start claiming promises that will restore him. Before that time, that guy was going to the grave. There was nothing he could do. Let me now summarize my explanation. God is judge. All right? But he has given us his mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we experience is not his will, it is his judgment. It is our duty to bring his will into his judgment. That's why the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done as it is written in heaven. Because ignorance can be a problem. People don't defend themselves. They agree for everything. You don't defend yourself, judgment is against you. Are you getting my point? The mercy of God is called Jesus. You must ensure all the time. And that's why I keep on telling Christians, please, please, stop waving your tithe booklet when you want to pray. You will die early. It's a warning, no? Stop waving your checkbook when you want to pray. You are looking for trouble. You know why? Because when you do those things, you will strengthen the hands of the devil against you. Why? You've come down to the realm of personal works now, not the works of true righteousness. For that reason, Satan has strength. He said, I gave this. Then Satan said, yes. But yesterday at that traffic light, there were 5 beggars that came to him. He didn't give anyone. That cancels out instantly. So I gave this one. Said, for he said, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long. Remember, the last time he was talking to his mother on the phone, he hung up because he was angry. Is that honor? But I did this one. I said, no problem, no problem. He that walks out on his father or abuses his mother, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. What happened last year when he went home in Christmas? Anytime you are saying, I did this, I did this, God should bless you. All those things are carried and shown to God. That's why you are going to die. You want to live? Stop that nonsense. You want to live? Drop that rubbish. When you want to pray, you look and say, dear Father, I have not done anything that is deserving of anything. But Jesus died that I may have everything. Your will is now my property because of the death of the testator. Thank you, because you said, I will not lack. Then when the Lord is my shepherd, God, are you not my shepherd? Therefore, I will not lack. The devil of poverty will run away from the presence of God. He won't talk again. Why? Because he has no word to speak when you are talking like this. He doesn't even understand the language. You say, Lord, you will prosper me. God say, why? You say, prosperity is a matter of grace. You make all grace abound towards me, that I will have all sufficiency in all things. How do you get grace? Is it not by faith? Your word says, Lord, I thank you. What about the Satan say, what about the evil that she has done? God say, you with your own mouth say, Lord, look in my book. There's no evil there. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has washed away every handwriting that was written against me. Stand, go, just look. No one to do waka in Nigeria. It's a sign of frustration. And there's nothing you can do. Say, get away. And I say, what do we do? And that's why Christians, you must understand, Satan's number one temptation is to remove your attention from the word of God. That's number one temptation. Get you busy. Prosper you. You don't have time. Why? Because those are the words you can use to resist him. When you don't know them, Jesus now came to the house one day. So he went and met Martha. Martha, our guy's not eating. Martha said, let's go and cook. Running up and down. He went to Mary, won't you join your sister? Mary said, leave me. Join your sister to cook now. Mary said, leave me. So Satan said, no problem. He went and met Martha. Martha, what do you think? These girls of these days, they don't respect seniors. They don't even honor the hunger of the man of God. So Martha said, yeah, that makes sense. He went to the Lord Jesus and said, well done, sir. I've been walking since morning. My sister is here hearing the word. Some people, they go to church, they go and join security. It's easy to know those who don't want to hear anything. Your church has one service. You are the one arranging cars and parking cars. Let's say, if I don't do it, who will do it? Let the unbeliever come and do it. Pay him. Announce in church, this church, nobody should drive car here again. Put your own security. It sounds funny. But that's how the kingdom of God can be that drastic. Otherwise, I say, Pastor, okay, if you want us to do security, there's no trouble. I have one special message before church starts or after. Or you do many services and then we rotate. But some people, they feel like we are working for God. They come to just wear uniform, wear badge, carry walkie-talkie. Alpha 1-0 is talking to Beta 2. Why? They are preaching inside, though. They are preaching inside, though. They are preaching inside, though. Is there a parking car? Say, If you did not know, tomorrow is Sunday, go to church and say, Pastor, I beg, I want to do security again. Otherwise, we'll do one security. When the war is about to start, we lock the doors. No car goes out, no car comes in. Then we all come and sit down. I'm telling you the truth. That was what Mary now did. Satan did try to do to Mary. Went to Martha, Martha. Jesus looked and said, Martha, Martha. You are bothered and concerned with too many things when only one thing is needful. Say, Mary has chosen that one. You now want me to connive with Satan and you to take it away from her? Say, never.
Let me say that in again, though. Be careful, though. This one, you go to God and be counting. They've told you sow a special seed. Better forget all those seeds that were dead when you were planting them. Better forget them. You know, God sent me to come and deliver those who are hoping on seeds that died. Can you imagine a man, they sell him corn that was boiled. He did not know. He sold it on his land. 2,000 hectares waiting for corn harvest. That corn is boiled, is dead. That seed you planted for what you will get is dead. That's why you have never gotten anything. And the few you got, even the unbeliever in your office got it. It was not your seed, you know. The little you got was even coincidental. It was the same time you were desperate and said, go and beg. Now they beg. God said, okay, on the basis of that beg, give him something. Give him something on that basis. You've been planting nonsense seeds. You won't get anything. Now I've been telling you. The reason why you won't get anything is that you are planting into a place where the devil has power to accuse you. Once you say, God, I have done this, Satan will say, but what about the ones he has not done? So when you want to go to God, go in the name of Jesus. I keep on saying that thing. What does it mean by going in the name of Jesus? Say, he's the one that died. So that's why I can come. He's the one that paid. That's why I came to receive. What about good works? I do them as a sign of my faith. That is, I'm not afraid, so I don't have my faith in money, so I can give money. I'm a child of God. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So I do good works. I help the poor. I help the needy. I participate in sponsoring the gospel. I do all of these things because I'm a Christian. But that is not the basis for what I'm going to receive. It is not the basis for what I'm going to receive. It is not the basis for what I'm going to receive. What am I going to receive? It's based on what Jesus did for me. So when I want to argue in the presence of God, if you are not around, please get our message, the tape we preached on Tuesday. Last Tuesday, the one I preached. I called it positive confession versus prophetic confession. There's a difference. Prophetic confession is based purely on what God said, not what I desire. Positive confession is human desire, human reasoning, human explanation. I confess that between and next week, I will get 10,000 naira. It's human reasoning. You can get 10,000 naira between and next week, then you need 1,000,000. What are you going to do? You start confessing again. Since it took you a week to get 10,000, know how long it will take to get 1,000,000. What is prophetic confession? Prophetic confession is that we're talking about lack, we're talking about need. Forget what I need. What does the word say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's all. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Every need I have will be met. In Jesus' name, every need I have is met. Now, why did I say in Jesus' name? Because what gave me the right to that scripture is that Jesus died. That scripture is of no effect until the death of the testator. That scripture doesn't work until the sacrifice has been slain. And Jesus was slain. So my face, my persistent look into his face, that's the basis upon which I collect that scripture. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. I just hold on to it. Even when I don't know the need. Positive confession requires me to know too many things, which can be very inaccurate. Start giving me details of confession. I confess that my wife is this color, this complexion, this height, this weight that will change. Be confessing nonsense. You don't even know what your life is going to be like in 10 years. You don't know the kind of woman you need. You have no idea. All the women you like right now is formed based on the films you have watched. Or if you like your pastor, you like his wife too. All these desires are formed out of experience. But eyes have not experienced. Do you get my point? Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered into the heart of anybody what God wants to do in your life. So how do you know the kind of woman you need? That was why Adam didn't have the opportunity to describe Eve. He was looking for her. The day he found her, he knew. Are you getting my point? So that's why we use prophetic confession, not positive confession. Prophetic confession, this is interesting, but it can put you in trouble, which is good. If the kind of trouble prophetic confession puts you in, it's in line with the will of God for your life. What I mean is this, if you confess good, you can lose a job. You will never have confessed it. Do you know that? God can say this office is the reason why you enter into your destiny. So you keep on declaring the name of Jesus. I was born on purpose according to the word of God. Before I was born, he knew me. Before I was born, he consecrated me to be something for him. I'm a soldier in his army. Because this boy is getting the point. Then remember what we said that day. That word is alive and active. The word can reason. So when you declare that the word says, this job is too good for him. Sack him. You come to work one day. You're still feeling, you have joy in the Lord. Father, we give you thanks. It's a good day. Hallelujah. Hey, as you reach office that day, they serve you later. They are downsizing. Or like they say, they are right sizing. We are putting the appropriate population in our workforce. And I say, oh, you sow a seed so that they won't sack you. Listen, you need to be sacked. We're not going to just say, you know, some testimony we don't understand enough. That's, some things don't excite me. It doesn't excite me. People will be disobeying God and be giving testimony. When Israel had testimony, but all the testimonies were founded on disobedience. At that day, rock, water just came out of the rock. What were you doing in the wilderness? Why did you not enter the promised land? Why were you in the wilderness? Because of disobedience. Brethren, can you believe it? Manna was just falling from heaven. Manna. Why were you needing manna? If you had obeyed God, you will have entered into the land where there is seed time and harvest. You're giving testimonies that God is born out of disobedience. You come and say, I just sow the seed that they will not sack me. So one brother in our church, he was praying, they say, sack him. That's the one that will go for you. You will work for him one day. Father God, thank you. My life is in your hands. No good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Listen, you start this kind of being blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I said, no, they will not sack me. I said, God, even though they sack me, don't ever forget it. A greater door is opening for me. When you close one door, is it not written? He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. When you talk like that, the day they sack you, you call the family and start rejoicing. God of miracle, now our papa, oh. He said, what's happened? He said, I have been sacked. He said, Daddy, are you together? He said, don't worry. God will not close a door until another one has been prepared. Go and listen to my message. Open my eyes, O Lord. Then start looking around. You will see a well of water that God prepared for you when they kicked you out of Abraham's house. You will see the well of water. Why? Because the word can think. The word can reason. The word can think. What the word is saying that, listen, this your regular salary is the reason why you won't go far. I want to disconnect you from comfort. I want to make life challenging for you so that you can be an overcomer. And it's overcomers that I reward. But those who just want to limit themselves to positive confession, they wake up in the morning, in the name of Jesus, I will not be sacked. Why? Because that job is their God. Yeah. What am I going to say? You know? No, I'm laughing at myself. I say all of this trying to make a point, which I've looked, my time has gone, so I can't make that point at all. Did I tell you to open somewhere? Hey, let's read it now. What is it? Let's read it now. We are closing now. We now won't read it. What is it? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I went all of this time to explain something. That sometimes God calls for things, judgment upon the land, so as to bring us into the place where he wants us to be. I believe the Holy Spirit was ministering to us as I was speaking. But let's get back to the advancement of the kingdom of God. We don't have much time now. Let's start again then. Hopefully continue again next time. Because of the time, I will just jump here and there. We'll read it further again. All right, next time we are back here. In the book of Haggai chapter 1, Haggai has only two chapters. So in the second year of Darius, the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel and to Joshua. You see me jump here and there so as to save time. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people, they are saying that the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. What are they doing in verse 4? They were building their, he said, God asked them, is it a time for you to dwell in your own paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, consider your ways. God says, you have sown much, but harvest little. Now, see, that's why actually why I began this. But I just got taken in that direction. I wanted to explain some points here. You eat, and there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. And God says, consider your ways in verse 7. Now go up, begin to work so as to rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it, says the Lord. When you didn't do that, verse 9 was happening in your life. You looked for much, behold, it comes to little. You bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Because my house lies desolate, while each one runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, not because of the devil, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land. That's actually where I began this. I want to explain this point so people will understand it. God said, I call for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, and everything the ground produces, men also, cattle, and all the labor of your hands. God said, let me summarize this. This was because you were not focusing on the right thing. I want to say prophetically again towards Christians. Please, I want to stop here because of my time. I want to close now. I want to say to us again that this is the same problem that we have as believers. If you read further down, God said, once again, I shake the heavens, I shake the earth. In chapter 2, verse 6, once more in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also, and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. When I bring the silver and bring the gold, it's mine. I keep it in your hands. Then you take my silver, you take my gold, you go to your panelled houses while this house lies desolate. That's what he was saying. He said, once again, which means I did it at the time, but you misused it, so I dried everything up. Then I'm going to do it again. Now, I'm warning you ahead of time. This is the reason why I'm blessing you. Listen to me. If you were blessed at a time in your life and it dried up, I've given you an answer to your problems. It's not your father-in-law. It's not your mother-in-law. You used God's money for the wrong things. That's all that happened. You hear what I said? You used his money wrongly. Sometimes I tell stories, you know, I don't know how to handle this, some of them. But anyway, let me just try and color this. I remember one minister, somebody told me about once. When he started out in ministry, he had plenty of money. Offering was flowing. God is a good God. People will drop offering. If you are blessed today, shout amen. They will drop offering. Everything, they will drop offering. Now, bros begin to live large. Start eating well. After a short while, the money dried up. It dried up so badly, there was no food again. The people are not giving. They were giving before. Why didn't you ask yourself why they were giving before? Why did they change? The reason why finances dry up a lot of times is simply because we use them wrongly. I said something last time, which is why I wanted to bring it today, but then I just got into that swing. I believe the Lord was trying to settle some things in the hearts of some people that came here today. God gives us things for a purpose. We are talking about the advancement of the kingdom of God. One of the things that I believe Christians need to learn seriously these days is to realize that anything you can see, they are literally, according to the scriptures, they are temporal. Everything you can see is temporal. No matter how beautiful it is, there was a time, and let me tell you something about the way we go crazy about church buildings, we Christians. Church building is good, amen? But you must understand why things are done. I'm trying to explain the particular principle. Even when we try to look at, say, church building, Jesus proved to us that it is still empty again. And I'm talking about the temple that they had then. They said, look at how beautiful this temple is. He said, mark my words, not one stone will be standing upon another when God will be through with judging the building. I said to us last time, God has never, ever, in the Old Testament, that under the law, all right, when even the building was a place of worship. Right now, the building is a place of meeting. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That's what it is. It's not a place of worship. It's a place of what? Meeting. The place of worship is where two or three are gathered in his name. So if two or three decide to gather in that place, it's fine. If they decide to gather in the garage in their homes, that's the place of worship. And they decide to gather literally on the football field in the primary school next to their street, that football field has just been sanctified. Literally. When we were in University of Benin those days, the sports complex was sanctified. A time came, the school authority closed it again so that we couldn't come there to pray. Brethren prayed. The school wouldn't open it. Listen to me, I'd never seen it before. You know the way those places are built. Bishop, you know what I'm talking about. They screwed down the roof, all right, with iron rod. A storm came and removed the whole roof. No other building on campus lost anything. Because we sanctified the place with our prayers. Then one day, tempted somebody, locked against us. We prayed for the place to be open. When it didn't open from below, God opened it from above. And he opened it neatly. Just saw the roof, just came off and dropped it. The covered pavilion. It was a sign. I don't know what happened. I didn't follow up much after, but I can imagine that God said, whoever locked that, open it. Because your head is what I will peel off next time. And I keep on saying, you don't think it's the devil. People just go around offending God anyhow. Listen, if you're a true child of God, you're in a school, you're in university, one lecturer is harassing you, better warn him, say, Oga, hey. Listen, Oga, this is personal interest. I'm a child of God. I won't pray against you, but I do fear for you. God, not a joke. Back to my message anyway. So the building, all right, but God said, look, this structure is not the primary thing I'm doing. It's not, like I was sharing with some of our brothers the other night. We just sat somewhere and we're discussing and encouraging one another. At the same time, God is doing something on the earth, there are always side effects. The side effect is a consequence of what he's doing. But that thing is not what he's doing. Let me explain what I'm saying. When Elijah was called by God to Mount Horeb, when Elijah got there, there was fire. There was thunder. There was light, the fire, what do you call it? There was whirlwind. There was cracking of, there was earthquake. Elijah will look and say, and God was not there. Why did the earthquake come? God came. Why did the fire come? God came. Yet Elijah is having the infantry to tell us God was not there. Because he was an experienced man. He knows that anytime God moves, things will shake around. So you have to look beyond the things that are shaking to find out exactly what God is doing. Listen. If you ask many people, how did Elijah go to heaven? I will ask you a simple question. If I will give you an answer, tell me whether it's true or false. Elijah went to heaven in chariots of fire. True or false? Except that he didn't go in chariots of fire. He went in a whirlwind. The chariot of fire came and separated him from Elisha. And came to distract Elisha. But he said, he had learnt it. Say, thank you. Chariot of fire, that one on our home video, come. The guy was looking. He focused on his Oga until the whirlwind came and took the man away. And then the mantle fell. Anytime God is walking, there's always side effects. They always come. The side effect, it seems to, that it is designed to distract those who are not very serious. There are those who are carried away with how Jesus was preaching. The sower went forth to sow, yeah? And some fell by the wayside, come on. They were excited. But the disciples who understood, they said, what is he talking about? Peter, do you get the point? Peter said, They knew he wasn't saying anything. Then I went and met him and said, sir, what was that? He said, don't mind them. They did not even notice that I said nothing. Why? They came for miracles and for free bread. The same time God is doing something, the main thing he's doing is often hidden in the most visible thing. That is, the most visible thing in what God is doing is hardly ever what he's really doing. The core is hidden. It's the discipline of disciples to go and find out, okay, in the midst of everything, what really is God doing? Look at these people. We don't have time now because I want to just summarize this. God began to prosper them. You know what Isaiah doing? They built houses. Build their panel houses as a sign of prosperity. And God said, listen, I am going to dry everything up. You guys will look for food you will not find. So one day they made investments. Stock market crashed. They saw dollar depreciating. They bought some. It depreciated. You know, I always invent English. Everything they did not work. They rented a shop there. Sullivan Chimay came, destroyed it. They moved to Abuja. El-Rufai came, destroyed it. They moved to Kaduna. El-Rufai won Kaduna governorship. Sai destroyed it. And then they went to church. Somebody says it's the devil. God said, what else do I need to do before you know it's not the devil? The devil that said I will not prosper. God said, it's not the devil. It is me that said, you are using my silver and my gold for the wrong purpose. That's why I dried it up. Jesus now said, what are you supposed to do? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. You know, like I said, this was supposed to be my message for today, but our time is gone, so I'm going to stop it, all right, so we can go home. But let me quickly say something here. When he said that they drink, but they don't have enough to get drunk. You know, there are two sides to it. There's one in which they drink, and the food, the drink is just not enough. Just not enough. But there's another side which is just the same thing. It still fulfills the word of God, in which they drink, the water is plenty, but they can never be satisfied. One of the greatest gifts God can give you, God will give you in life, is how to be satisfied. You want to know a sinner that God has removed satisfaction from? He's always buying a new thing. iPhone 4, he buys. iPhone 5, he has bought. iPhone 6, he bought. Then the following week, iPhone 6S came out, he has bought. He's always buying. You think it's because he can afford. God said, no. I have removed satisfaction from him. He will continue to buy. Just watch. Listen, let me just say something to you Christians. Because there's a craze we find around. Let me tell you something. Eh? There is no joy in Switzerland that's not in Obiago. Listen, that's how human beings are. That is why you will find that the African will take money to go to Europe. The European will take money to go up to Africa. You say, in this village, I just this village all my life. The woman is paying $150 a day for a safari trip to see the animal you see every day. What I've told is not a joke. Greatest thing God can do for you in life is to make you happy, satisfied. It will not prosper you until a Nokia 1100 gives you as much joy and gladness as an iPhone 6S. Many people think they are enjoying. The truth is that they are not enjoying. God will drew satisfaction from them, so they are pursuing it. They won't find it. Buy one car today. Next day, they need another one. Buy another one. The third day, they need another one. And God knows how he will do it too. You know what I'm saying? It's God. It's not devil. You know, we left devil out of this matter now. Because this is our life we're talking about. Devil is not our mate. Are you getting what I'm saying? We deal with our Father God. That's the real person that is there, okay? God say, okay. You're like, okay, Father, thank you. Finally. Yes, now. And no, thank you. You now buy that car. Maybe it's, give me one very nice, the latest Avalon, Toyota. You're feeling happy. Now drive for your friend's wedding. God will reserve a parking space for a guy that knows less than you. He failed when you passed in university. They will park right beside you, the latest model Lexus salon. Maybe it will be LS490. So that when you come out, you won't even see your own car again. Because of the glory. Every star has its own glory. You are driving home. Your wife does not know why you are frowning. Joy has left you. You know why? Because you are pursuing the wrong thing. It's a pity my time is gone. We'll continue next time. Christians need to pursue the kingdom of God. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Listen to me. This is why God gave us silver and gold. When he gave them in Egypt, everybody would harvest. But when they got to the wilderness, Moses said, give me. I need to build a tabernacle. That tabernacle stands for us as a sign of the kingdom of God. Every material thing was given to us for a purpose. And our personal enjoyment is the last on the list. It's not the first. Let me leave it here. We'll develop it next time. Let's bow down our heads to pray.